This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 21 من شهر رمضان المبارك 1443 الموافق ل 23 من شهر 23 من شهر أبريل 2022 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات. Last session we stopped at the saying of Allah سبحانه وتعالى كذلك العذاب ولا عذاب الآخرة أكبر لو كانوا يعلمون. If we remember, we were talking about the story of those stingy people who did not want to replace their father in righteousness. When the father died, according to the narrations, they decided not to share the risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them with the poor people. فَدَبَّرُوا أَمْرًا بِلَيْلٍ. So they plan at night to go very early to do the hasad, to harvest the plants and the crops so that the poor would not see anything. فَعَامَلَهُمَ اللَّهُ بِنَقِيدِ قَصْدِهِ. They were looking for everything, you know, trying to take that little which they are sharing with the poor people, but they end up losing everything. Right? They did not agree to lose a little. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them lose everything. So he says, كَذَلِكَ الْعَذَابِ وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in this life. But in reality, the adab that comes in the akhirah if somebody does not repent is far greater than what a person is receiving here. Yeah, that's why a believer should be very smart. Being punished in this life is much easier than you being punished in the hereafter. And the most important thing is not to have an issue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. The most important thing for the believer is to make sure that he has no problem with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have this attitude, trying not to be in a situation whereby they have problem with Allah. You get it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, they have issue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they try to avoid that. That's why if they receive the forgiveness from Allah and they know about it, that will be one of the best days of their days in this life. The story of Ka'ab ibn Malik is the best example in this regard. Right? Abshir bi khayri yawmin marra alayka mundhu waladatka ummuk. That was the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave three of them because they have spoken the truth. They accept the punishment in this life and they tolerated it and they see it as a test. That's why when Malikul Ghassan sent a message to Ka'b and in Risala Mughriya, sending a message to him telling him that we have received information that your friend, they're referring to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, neglected you. Jafaka wa qalak. It says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put you in a state of mahana and disrespect. Falhaq bina nuwasik. He said, come to us, we are going to respect you and we honor you, you know. And that was kafir, you know. SubhanAllah, that increases his test, you know. He was handling things, but he says, Tame abi kafir. He said, my sin is going beyond the limit. Even kufar also are having interest in me, you know. Qala fasajadtu bi at-tanur. He burnt that letter completely to handle the test in this dunya, because he knows what is in the akhirah is far greater. Those non-believers from the munafiqeen, they went to the Prophet ﷺ and lied to him. You know, the Prophet ﷺ let them go. Allah SWT has prepared for any one of them who did not repent a greater punishment. So Allah SWT salam al-afiyah. But as we said, you know, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them, and some of the righteous predecessors mentioned that they became righteous people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced that which they lost with the best. Yeah, that's how it is. You know, the issue is not about taking you away. The issue is about you coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any moment. You're welcome. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor you, will grant you that which He promised. You have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have the khilafah. Khilafah, not necessarily the big khilafah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to replace that which you lost when a person is not righteous. You know, probably they have a lot when they are bad, you know. So when they accepted Islam, they're going to lose all of those things, which is very difficult. You Allah, it's not easy. You know, you are somebody who is trying to be righteous and to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might say, you know, why can't he? But it's not easy. You have a huge amount of wealth, you have everything, you have the fame, you have the followers, you have everything. Just in the middle of the day, you are going to lose all of them. It is not easy. It's not easy. I heard somebody when he was asked, what happened to your wealth? He says, Aslama. Lamma aslamt. So it's not easy. But if a person can resist, you know, and stay away from it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the replacement is going to come. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah has His own way. You know, Allah has His own way. We have heard a lot of stories, you know, in the past and in the present, of people who repented and went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they did not lose. And subhanAllah, the amount of the happiness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in your heart, you know, is priceless, you know. He will lie, it's priceless. But subhanAllah, we the Muslims, actually, we don't taste this that much. New Muslims, they understand this so much, much more greater than us. The born Muslims, they usually don't see this. But those people who left the facade and they come to Islam, they can tell you what is the difference. Reference to the statement of Omar, if you don't know what Jahiliyyah is all about, you might not appreciate Islam that much. If you see the Jahiliyyah and you come and see Islam, you will know that yes, definitely, there is no success except Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced them with the best, bi'iznillahi azza wa jalla, according to the narration. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. SubhanAllah. Very beautiful statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the people of Jannah. Jannah, we are referring to that garden, not Jannah. We are referring to the Jannah of those people, the farm they have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to them and He told us what happened to them because of their misbehavior. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the best way to be followed, the Siratullahi al-Mustaqim. So those people they went against and they got the bad result which everyone who is following the same way is getting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. The believers, they have the Jannat al-Na'im when they reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. With no that much explanation, Jannat al-Na'im. Because you have heard a lot of, you know, some of the details about the paradise. A very strong place that needs no explanation except to shed light on the last person who will be going to paradise. Then you can get the clue, right? If that person is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah told him, Ala, ama inni la astahzi'u bik, the man says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, atastahzi'u bi wa anta rabbul alameen. He says, no. You know, Allah laughed at him first, and then He told him, no. Ama inni la astahzi'u bik, walakinni ala ma asha'u qadir, udkhul al jannah wa laka مثل الدنيا وعشر أمثالها. SubhanAllah. And this is the last, you know, the last person. Ibn Qayyim says, the one that, وَأَدْنَاهُمْ وَمَا فِيهِمْ دَنِيءٍ in his Nuniyah. There is no dana'ah in Jannah. But we just, relatively, we are referring to others who are better than him in paradise. He says, it's the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him عشر دنيا. 10 times of our own dunya. And the Prophet said, "Mawdi'u sawtin fil jannah khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma 'alayha." So we're talking about a spot, you know, because sawt sometimes is very small, right? Even this, the width of this table is bigger than it. خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا عَلِيهَا. Ibn Qayyim, in some of his mentions, he says that the person's kingdom, this person, we are referring to this last one, you know, his kingdom is measured as 2,000 years. You know. SubhanAllah. The length. You know. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ actually is better than this explanation. You know, when he says, "It is not easy for the believer to see the last part of his kingdom in paradise." So, when you hear all about this, we are still talking about the last one, right? And if we go to Firdaus, SubhanAllah, then you understand why Jannah itself says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely the person who managed to be here succeed. SubhanAllah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the Firdaus, and these are the best people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. The hadith of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ilaika alladhina gharastu karamatahum biyadi." Subhanallah. So this Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, is the closest, the highest place, you know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Idha sa'altum Allah al-jannata fasaluhu al-Firdaus. Innahu a'ala al-jannah وأوسطه وفوقه عرش الرحمن." The best and the highest, you know, Jannah is Firdaus. As I always say, it is enough for this place to be excellent, you know, that the roof is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you Allah. Even if there is nothing in that place, just to have the feeling that yes, the roof of your Jannah is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more than enough. SubhanAllah, you know, these mentions, they are supposed to bring comfort to our life. In a way, you will find it very difficult to see a Muslim who is depressed in this life. But is that the case? No. That means our reflection and focus and the ibadah and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is weak. And you see the predecessors, they weren't like this, you know. Ibn al-Qayyim says in his Nuniyah, he says, وَإِذَا رَآهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ نَسُ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مِمَّا نَالَتِ الْعَيْنَانِ وَاللَّهِ مَا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا أَلَذُّ مِنْ اشْتِيَاقِ الْعَبْدِ لِلرَّحْمَنِ. SubhanAllah. The Ru'yatullah Azza wa Jalla is the best thing that exists in paradise. That's why he says, وَاللَّهِ لَوْلَا رُؤْيَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ فِي الْجَنَّاتِ مَا طَابَتْ لِذِي الْعِرْفَانِ. The best thing you have in Jannah is this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets people see Him, He says, "Nasu alladhi hum fihi mimma nalat al-aynani." When they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are going to forget everything that exists in Jannah. The most enjoyable moment you have in paradise is when you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, "Wallahi ma fi hadhihi dunya aladhu min ishtiyaq al-abdir rahman." That's why he says there is nothing more sweeter in this dunya than having the shawq إِلَى رُؤِيَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. It's priceless. So, this is more than enough. There are so many things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Jannah, and these are just a bit. Allah already told you in Surah 2, As-Sajda, He says, فَلَا تَعَلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. It's like Allah is telling you, relax. You don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for you of those things that will grant you satisfaction. Allah says, just wait. You come and see them, inshaAllah. فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ وَبِقَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. So Allah says, the righteous people, they have the Jannah being prepared for them, and they will see it when they are about to die. As a good news for them, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. They will be granted this good news before they leave this life. You know, they see their position first. And you can see the journey of the believer when he dies. You go all the way to the heaven number 7. Every heaven he goes, the angels and the muqarrab dhakil makan, they will be accompanying him to the next place. Subhanallah. He will reach heaven number 7, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the angels, you know, it's like a welcoming reception, you know, subhanAllah. Command the angel to bring him back to the dunya. The question will take place because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that He created us from the earth. Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. Everyone has to come back from the earth. Otherwise, you will not be going back after you reach that place. You know. So you will get, after the questions, they will show you a place, your house in Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ said the angels will make a connection between your house and your Jannah. Your grave and your Jannah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said the qabr for the believer is mad al-basar. We see it like that because this is alam al-ghayb. We don't see mad al-basar. You know, you open it, you see the person in that small hole. But in reality, the good ones, they are in that place which is mad al-basar. It's a very big place. Complete life in its own nature. And you have the anis, you have those who will come and give you uns, you know. Read the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you enjoy. It is very excellent and lovely and a complete life in the grave. So that's how you will be living there until the time you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already said, if you pass the test in the grave, as he says, al-qabru awwalu manzil min manazil al-akhirah. You know, a grave is the first manzil stage of the stages of the akhirah. And that's why some of our scholars, and he reminded us about this statement that we say, if somebody dies, we say, aada ila mathwahu al-akhir. La wallah, this is not mathwahu al-akhir. Yeah, mathwahu al-akhir yati ba'da yawm al-qiyamah. The grave is a stage, is a place of transit. It's a period of time he spent there. He's still on the way. He did not reach that place yet. So let's focus on all of these reminders. You know, Ali ibn Abi Talib says, "Ad-dunya dara sidqin liman sadaqaha." It's a very, very good and excellent place for a person to get as much as good deed he can, so that when he goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not fail. So dear brothers and sisters, let's exercise patience. Like, there is nothing better than patience, you know. Patience, patience. Allah says when he narrated the story of Nuh alayhi salam, subhanAllah, symbol of patience. 950 years of dawah. You know? So that you will understand properly, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed 1,000 for you and then make the exemption. فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Yeah, so that you understand, you know, 950 years is not according to the business thing, any mentality. They put 9999. You still see that there is a discount, but the discount is just 1 cent maybe. You forgot that this is still 1,000, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, 1,000 years except 50. That's 950 years. Inviting people to Islam, and he was patient. He used every possibility to convince them not to go astray, but unfortunately, abaw illa shirk wal kufr. And subhanAllah, shufr kadhib wal inad. When they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them the following question. You know, if you are looking for the definition of kadhib, you can refer to this. If somebody doesn't understand, give him this story. Tell him what they are doing is the kadhib. Allah asked them, hal ja'akum min bashirin aw nadhir? Qalu la. 1,000 years, you know. هَلْ جَأَكُمْ مِنْ بَشِيرٍ قَالُوا لَا مَا جَأَنَا مِنْ بَشِيرٍ وَلَا نَذِيرٍ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْعَدِلُ. One of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is justice. Since they claim that nobody was sent to them, and Nuh said, he did. هَلْ بَلَّغْتَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, هَلْ بَلَّغْتَ, did you convey the message? He said, yes, I did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them, هَلْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنْ بَشِيرٍ قَالُوا لَا مَا جَاءَنَا مِنْ بَشِيرٍ وَلَا نَذِيرٍ. Allah asked Nuh alayhi salam, who is a witness? He says, Ummat Muhammad is Allah. Subhanallah. That's the meaning of the saying of Allah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً wasata. Al-udula. This is the meaning of the wasat here. Udula. So the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, yes, how do you know? We read in the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will testify that testimony, confirm that testimony that we are speaking the truth. Allah knows. Huwa a'lam. Allah knows. But so that the Hujjah will be established in the way they understand, in the way they know. Allah wants it to be in that way. So Nuh is one of the symbol of patience. Right after his story in Surah 2, Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا فَاصْبِرْ إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about what he did with the people of Nuh alayhi salam after the patience. He succeed, and those few who accepted him, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ma amana mahu illa qaleel. Those few who accepted him succeeded, and the rest fail, and Allah destroyed everyone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us here when he says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ غَيْبِ نُوحِيَا إِلَيْكَ مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا فَاصْبِرْ. Allah advised the Prophet ﷺ to be patient. إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So the same advice I will also share with myself and also all of us, that we really need to maximize our patience. Have the taqwa and adorn your taqwa with patience. Because let's be realistic to ourselves, my dear brothers and sisters, living as the muttaqi in these days is really tough. It's not easy. Iwallah. You're fought by everyone, sometimes by yourself actually. You'll be in a situation, your wife doesn't agree with you, your family don't agree with you, your friends also don't agree. You go to the workplace also, nobody agrees. Sometimes if you're really holding upon the truth, sometimes you feel like you're alone in the place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already advised you long ago. He says what? Fasbir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ أَيَّامْ الصَّبْرُ. These are coming, these are days of patience. The one who can control his emotions and be able to be patient will be given the reward of 50 companions. You know, even they themselves also, they were surprised. They said, Minhum or Minna. The Prophet ﷺ said, Minkum. In some places he said, from the shuhada, from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the reward of 50 companions. So exercise patience and maximize your patience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq. So qala inna lil muttaqina inda rabbihim jannatin na'im. The muttaqoon, they have jannah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannatin na'im. Who is the muttaqi? Somebody who put between him and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a strong fortress to protect him from the evil of that punishment. That's the taqwa. Taqwa means to put a strong fortress between you and the Azab Allah Azza wa Jal. And what is that barrier? None other than the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the understanding of the Salaf al-Saleh. It's as simple as this. Taqwa means to practice the religion according to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way the predecessors understood. And this is really necessary because nowadays you have interpretations, right? A lot of interpretations. The people of today, they think that religion is too old. We need something to modernize it, you know. That's where we get lost. And we are still following the enemies, right? We become their tails. And we will remain like this until the time we understand that the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need this tala'ub that we are doing nowadays. Everything has been cooked for us. You know, we just have to take it and use it. Everything has been cooked for us. We just have to take it and use it. قَالَ إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ أَفَنَجَعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the criminals this question, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. You know, how is it possible for somebody to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make the good ones similar to the evil ones? How? Allah SWT will never do that. That's why I said, at least the satisfaction that you are getting, although you don't have the money in the way they have, you don't have the position in the way they have, you don't have the media, but Allah SWT grant you the peace of mind. Yeah, the peace of mind, which they don't have. Yeah, which they don't have. So Allah SWT in this life will never make the believers similar to the non-believers. He will never make the righteous people similar to the fusaq. And in the hereafter also, the manifestation of this segregation is going to take place very well. Yeah. Here you might not see it properly, but in the hereafter, this is when you see the difference between the taqwa and kufr and dissoluteness. So he says, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. It's like, what's wrong with your thought? You know, how do you even think in this way? You know, that Allah is going to equate the bad ones with the good ones. قَالَ أَمْ لَكُمْ كِتَابٌ فِيهِ تَدْرُسُونَ إِنَّ لَكُمْ فِيهِ لَمَا تَخَيَّرُونَ. So maybe Allah is asking them, maybe they have another book other than the Quran, because Quran doesn't contain these stupidities. In the way somebody thinks that Allah is going to make the wrongdoers equal to the good ones. Maybe they have another book they are sourcing this, you know. Not the one that Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah says, "Inna lakum fihi." You know, you study this book. You have another book that you are studying, given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you study this book and you understand it correctly, and in this book, "Inna lakum fihi lama takhayyarun." You have in this book everything, in the way all of your choices and your selection, you know, the way you're following your desire, you take ma tashtahun. You have it in that book. Contrary to the one we have. Contrary to the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the one that Allah sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not like this. It's a very straightforward book that carries principles and maxims and basis that lead a person to success in life and segregate between falsehood and the truth. Batil and the good, right and wrong. It's very clear in this regard. Either you are here or you are there. There is no manzila bain al-manzilatayn. But since they are claiming and they have a strong faith, you know, according to them, that this is how it should be done, maybe they have another book other than that which Allah SWT gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, "Inna lakum fihi lama takhayyarun. Am lakum aymanun alayna balighatun ila yawm al-qiyamah. Inna lakum lama tahkumun." Or maybe they don't have a book, but there is an agreement between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they will definitely get whatever they want. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala agree with them, you know, maybe they have this. And these are all questions to be casted to them, you know, why their thought is going into this direction. Most likely they have something they depend on. Do you get an idea? When you see somebody doing something, going against the norm, most likely he has something that he's dependent on. That's how the system functions. Yeah, you go against the norm, most likely you have somebody. You see somebody doing whatever he wants, you know, most likely he has somebody on top there that tells him, go ahead, we were there. When the case comes, it will come to us and we will dismantle it. So maybe these guys are acting in this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, maybe you have an agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will never punish you and you have definitely whatever you want. Whatever you have decided, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you that one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if this is the case, then سَلْهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ بِذَلِكَ زَعِيمٌ. Who is responsible of that agreement? You know, who is the guarantor? We need to know who signed. Who stands for you? أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ فَلْيَأْتُوا بِشُرَكَائِهِمْ إِنْ كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or maybe they have some who they think they have the capacity and the power to protect them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who they equate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe they have that one. But if this is the case, then ask them to bring them. فَلْيَأْتُوا بِشُرَكَائِهِمْ إِنْ كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ. And subhanAllah, those people and those creatures, they are thinking of them to be the shuraka of Allah, وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. You know, وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. They are thinking of them to be the shuraka of Allah. Those, they are actually lesser than them. Yeah, naturally, they are lesser than them. Human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. We are better than all the animals and the jinns. The competition is between the human beings and the angels. Who is the best? Not between the animals. And you have in this life somebody who is worshipping? Animals, right? You have the cow worshippers. SubhanAllah. They said somebody went to the place where they worship the cows, and he told them, he convinced them to worship him. You get it? Maybe you know that person. But somebody asked him, why did you tell those guys to worship you? He said, because I found them worshipping cows, and I'm better than a cow. So I presented myself as being better than the cow, and they accepted that, you know. SubhanAllah. That is a qira'a among the qira'at al-shadha. The scholar said, when you have a qira'a, shadha, shudhudh, laysa min hajj al-sihha, sahat. Nisbatuha ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attribution of the recitation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is authentic, or to the companions, it's authentic. Yes, they read. But shadha, because it did not complete the conditions for the qira'a mutawatira aw sahiha allati tustakhdamu fi salah. It doesn't, meet the conditions. So they keep it aside. Shaykh Al-Amin Shanqiti says, when you have something like this, what must you do? You should take it and use it as tafsir for that qira'a which is authentic. Yeah. So you have a qira'a to Ashab al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says, وَلَهُ أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ مِنْ أُمِّنْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say مِنْ أُمِّنْ, but he added مِنْ أُمِّنْ. It's almost all the scholars of fara'id, they agree that this is referring to al-ikhwa lil-umm. Even if this narration doesn't exist, we take it as al-ikhwa lil-umm. Why is that? Because Allah mentioned the ikhwa lil-ab in the last part of Surah An-Nisa. وَالْإِخْوَى الْأَشِقَاءِ. So now this one is because the inheritance mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last part of the surah is different from the inheritance mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. So they take it as إِخْوَى لِلْأُمْ. But then that narration came from one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said مِنْ أُمِّنْ. Then the interpretation is very clear now. فَسِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ مُتَتَابِعَاتٍ. Supporting the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars. That qira'a says, the mutawatir one says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. The shadha says, إِنِ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادًا أَمْثَالُكُمْ. You know, that meaning is very beautiful, to be added to the mutawatir one. It focuses on negation. Those whom you worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma hum ibadun amthalukum. They are not even equal to you. You're more valuable than them. How can you go and bow to something that you are the one who will make it in that way? So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, since they claim it, they are having the shuraka. Allah Azza wa Jalla, alhamdulillah. Let them bring them, you know. Am lahum shuraka falyatu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the fact that those ones, they are even lesser than you, because how can you make a sanam as an object of worship? You bow for the sanam, you know. Wain dhahabat al-aqul, you know. You see intellectuals, you know, the so-called intellectuals, you know, professors, you know, going to bow for a sanam, you know. And subhanAllah, day after day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing them how weak is this thought. You know. They even marry. You know. Oh, it's so funny, you know. And they accompany them to the heavens, you know, sometimes. You know? They take them, they carry them, they do everything for them. What is this? You know? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide their code. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ فَلْيَأْتُوا بِشُرَكَائِهِمْ إِنْ كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ. If they're truthful, let them bring them, you know, to see what can they do if the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to arrive. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةٌ وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let them bring them if they're truthful. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ. And the day, يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ. This is where you find the controversy among the scholars. But wallahu a'lam, لَلَّ الْأَقْرَبُ هُوَ إِثْبَاتُ السَّاقِ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Because of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a narration attributed to Abdullah ibn Abbas, and it is authentic that he interpreted the saq here with the shiddah, hardship and difficulty, because the word literally, it also carries this saq. According to the Arabic language, one of its meaning is shiddah and difficulty. Kushifa as-saq or rufi as-saq, it means the hardship is removed. But when dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that is something that makes it, that's why one of our scholars said, if there is no hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this interpretation of Abdullah ibn Abbas could be okay. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that authentic hadith, he says, فَيَكْشِفُ الْجَبَّارُ عَنْ سَاقِهِ. That dhamir, you know, removes any shubha. I mean, there shouldn't be any controversy after this. Because you say, فَيَكْشِفُ الْجَبَّارُ عَنْ سَاقِهِ. الضمير يرجع إلى الله عز وجل. So, هو ساق يليق بجلال الله عز وجل. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the believers, do you have any sign that you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with whenever you see Him? They said, yes. This is on the Day of Judgment. You know. They said, yes. And then what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, what is that? They said, as-saq. فَأَكْشِفُ الْجَبَّارُ عَنْ سَاقِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is also the reference here, وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ. Right after that moment happened, subhanallah. But now the recognition comes, everyone will find himself bowing for sujood. Subhanallah. That's greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the believers will go down for sujood. All of the believers, except the munafiqeen. The munafiqeen, they will not be able to make sujood. Their bag will become like a metal. They cannot make a sujood. وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. The kuffar and the munafiqeen, because they are also kuffar, they cannot make that sujood. And why can't they make it? Allah says, وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ. You know, you will see them, their eyes is widely open in the state of darkness. تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةٌ. They will be in a state of humiliation on the Day of Judgment. وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. And in this life, they have been invited to make sujood, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sujood to Allah. Ahum salimun. And they are okay. They have no problem in their life. They couldn't do it. You know, this surah contains this jaza, al-mu'amalatu bi naqid al-qasd. In this life they enjoy. They don't want to make sujood. And the hereafter they want to make the sujood. It doesn't work, you know. It doesn't work. So, it's a very good reminder for us that do not neglect opportunity. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with you in a state of difficulty, you also should try your best and make sure that you're always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are in a state of prosperity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ta'arraf ila Allah fi في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are in a state of prosperity. Why is prosperity is mentioned here? Because this is usually when people forget Allah. Usually people go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are poor. Up to date, the vast majority of the followers of the messengers are the poor, the weak element in society. And sometimes some of them, you know, subhanAllah, they fail the test. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them rich, they forget the past. No? Hiraql asked the Prophet, Abu Sufyan, in that long hadith that you know, he says, أَشْرَافُ النَّاسِ اتَّبَعُوهُ أَمْ ضُعَفَاؤُهُ. Who are the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are they from the notables in the society or they are from the weak? قَالَ بَلْ ضُعَفَاؤُهُ. He says, no, they are the weak. قَالَيْشْ وَهُمْ أَتْبَعُ الرُّسْلِ. That man is really, really, really alim, you know. But subhanAllah, غَرَّتْهُ الدُّنْيَا. He really knows. غَرَّتْهُ الدُّنْيَا. If you hear the comment he's given, that means you are dealing with a knowledgeable person in terms of his religion. He has the knowledge, you know. He says, وَهُمْ أَتْبَعُ الرُّسْلِ. And he's a very smart person. But unfortunately, his smartness doesn't benefit him. He favored the dunya. And that's the correct opinion concerning him, because there are some scholars who believe that since Imam al-Bukhari put his hadith under the hadith of intention, next to the hadith of Innamal Amal bin Niyad, is like he's referring to the opinion that says Allahu A'lamu bihali. Because there are some who believe that Hiraql was hiding his Islam like Najashi. But then other scholars dismantle this. They said if he was hiding his Islam, he would never fight the believers. He fought the Muslims afterward. Most likely the sound is not reaching. Yeah. Yeah. It's a for mine. جوالك شغال عبد الرحمن. إذا أنت تستقبل من الجوال خليني أتكلم عن طريق الجوال.
can't we just combine between both opinions?
Can you say it again? I was...
You have the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas when he self refers to shidda, to hardship. And then you have the hadith of the Prophet where he said that the self will be shown to the people on the day of judgment. So why can't we combine between both opinions?
Because when dealing with the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is very sensitive issue. Very, very sensitive issue. When dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the matter is very sensitive. You just have to keep it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it. So since we have something from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we just have to use it and does it. That's why the Prophet, he himself, Abdullah ibn Abbas, you remember the case of the Umrah? Okay, I will remind you. When somebody asked him about, not Umrah, Tamattu. Okay. You know, his opinion is, if you are not with your Hadi to Mecca, you have no option except to do Tamattu. You get it? If you come up just like that. If you are coming with your Hadi, with your animal to be slaughtered in Mecca, then you have the three options. Get an idea? Is the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Ibn Qayyim supported him and some other companions. Among the contemporary scholars, Sheikh Nasir has also supported this very harshly. But if you look at the past, Abu Bakr did not do this. Umar did not do it. Ali and all of those Khulafa al-Rashidin, they have different view. So somebody told him, but Abu Bakr did not agree with this. Abdullah ibn Abbas got angry with him. He says, أَقُولُ لَكَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَتَقُولُ قَالَ أَبُو بَكَرُ وَمَرْ أَخْشَى أَن تَنْزِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حِجَارَةٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. You get an idea. That statement is absolutely right. Prophet, when there is something from Rasulullah, as long as the one who is saying it understood it correctly, that's the mawqif. You get an idea. These are the normal issues. When it comes to the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is very sensitive. The only way for you to understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the Quran or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, based on the correct understanding of the Salaf al-Saleh. Get it? If we're going to use our own mind and aql, we can say yes. Combine both, you know. But then if you look at, you have to exaggerate also a lot. You know, because the shidda remains. Even after that moment, the shidda remains, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes for the judgment, you know, this is when the real difficulty also will take place. You know? Sirat is going to happen, measuring the details in the scale. You know, these are the tough situations that exist in the day of judgment. They all come after this moment. You get an idea? So we need some takalluf also to justify. If somebody tells us, but if you say that the difficulty has been removed, the hardship is taken, but why in some ahadith we still have difficulty after this? Actually, the biggest difficulty exists after that event. Get it? Because this is referring to وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ لِلْفَصْلِ بَيْنِ الْقَضَاءِ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. You get an idea? After that, after all of this, then the sirat will take place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq.
Question by Sister Mummy. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There is this statement of Ibn al-Qayyim where he says, whoever seeks knowledge in order to revive Islam is from the truthful, and his level is after the level of the prophets. So Shaykh, can you explain what kind of seeking of knowledge is this exactly? And what's the criterion for the one who seeks knowledge to be given this status?
Na'ib Abdul Rahman. And knowledge, whenever it is mentioned, it is referring to the Islamic knowledge, the knowledge of the Sharia. Okay? That's the reference. Knowledge of the Sharia. Any other knowledge is tabi. If somebody has good intention and his intention is to support Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his religion, then they will be rewarded bi idhnillah azza wa jalla. But whenever you see knowledge in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is referring to the knowledge of the Sharia. And for sure, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-ulama warathatu al-anbiya," those who are the inheritors of the prophets, they are the scholars. So as long as a person study the mirath al-nubuwa, what is the mirath al-nubuwa? Sharia. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave for us except Kitabullahi wa sunnatihi. So when somebody studies that, you know, and master it, and also put into practice an action, he is included in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-ulama warathat al-anbiya. Al-anbiya lam yurithu dinaran wala dirhaman. Wa innama warathu al-'ilm. Faman akhadhahu akhadha bihadhin wa hadhin. So Sister Murni, he is referring to this bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, true knowledge, which is the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Could you please repeat the example you gave of the Qira'a Shafa?
The Qira'a
Shafa. You gave an example.
Are you sleeping?
I was sleeping.
Khalid will take your nationality. No, I was saying, if you see the Qira'a Shafa, but it's authentic, attributed to one of the companions who used to recite it, as something that he got it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As long as it is authentic, we don't throw it out. We keep it as a tafsir for the mutawatir. Yeah, it really helps so much. So I was just picking up some of those examples I can remember, like the issue of al-ikhwat al-um fil irth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ كَانَ رَجُلٌ يُورَثُ كَلَالَةً وَلَهُ أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ فَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا السدس فإن كانوا أكثر من ذلك فهم شركاء في الثلث. If you have a person who is being inherited as a kalala, kalala اسم الله فوق له ولا تحت يعني مقطع الرأس والرجل. Is it referring to somebody who doesn't have parent and doesn't have children? No children, no parent. That's why ikhwa were able to inherit, because if father exists, all the brothers and siblings will be kicked out. So he doesn't have any parent. And he doesn't have children. Because if the gangster exists, I call the child, the male, the boy. Because when he exists, almost two-thirds of the heirs will be kicked out. And those who remain with him, nobody will be saved. He will cut your inheritance to the minimum. Yeah, that's the sum. Even if he's a baby, just born now, he does the same thing. According to the Sharia, Allah has the wisdom. Nowadays we have different things, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the person comes, is inherited as a kalala, وَلَهُ أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ, and he has a brother or a sister. But how many brothers do you have? How many types of brothers do we have? Three. Full brothers, father and mother are the same. Consanguine brothers, the father is the same and mothers are different. And al-ikhwat al-um. He said one, they share mother, but father is different. So Allah here, he says, lahu akhun aw ukht. Which one? He has a brother or he has a sister? We don't know which one. That qira'ah says, lahu akhun aw ukht min ummi. So the reference is to ikhwat al-um, the uterine siblings, right? So that you can see how this qira'ah helped me to understand the meaning of the ikhwa in that verse. I don't need to go to the last surah, last part of the surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ كَانَ رَجُلٌ يُورَثُ كَلَالَةً أَوْ مُرَاتٌ وَلَهُ أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ. The ayah, يَسْتَفْتُونَكَ قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِي الْكَلَالَةِ إِنْ امْرُؤٌ هَلَكَ لَيْسَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ وَلَهُ أُخْتٌ فَلَهَا نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ. A person who dies and he doesn't have a child, وَلَهُ أُخْتٌ, and he has a sister, فَلَهَا نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ وَهُوَ يَرِثُهَا إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهَا وَلَدٌ فَإِنْ كَانَ ثَنْتَيْنِ فَلَهُمَا الثُّلُثَانِ مِمَّا تَرَكَ until then, وَإِنْ كَانَ إِخْوَةً رِجَالًا وَنِسَاءً فَلِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. You can see the inheritance here is totally different from that one. Most of the scholars will combine between these two ayahs to understand that this is إِخْوَة لِلْأَبْ وَالْأَشِقَّاءِ, and that one is talking about إِخْوَة لِلْأُمْ. But that riwayah that came, which says min akhun aw ukhtun min ummi, it helps me to understand that Allah SWT is speaking about the uterine siblings in the first ayah. Yeah. The same goes to the ayatul ma'idah. You have the controversy of the scholars. If you're doing the kafara for the nadhr, and you're supposed to fast because you cannot free a slave, you cannot feed the needy people, how many days are you going to do? Three. This one that I have mentioned, but how? Continuously, or you can break them down according to your capability. Most of the scholars said they have to be mutatabi'ah. continues. The support to this is that narration that says, فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ مُتَتَابِعَاتٍ. It added mutatabi'at. You get the idea. So that's a very good principle given to us by the scholars, that whenever you see the qira'a shadha, hold upon it. As long as it is authentic, keep it. You will need it when you go to interpretations and sometimes settle in the debate among the scholars. Because as long as it could be attributed to a companion, that would be the closest opinion than any other scholar. Do you get the idea? That would be the closest opinion. That's why, according to the best opinion, if a companion says something, I'm talking about the opinions of the fuqaha, the ulama, not the people nowadays who says they also have the capacity to make ijma. Hum rijal wa nahnu rijal, they say. Yeah, they should go and visit Sheikh Atiyah Mahmoud Salim. He says that ad-dunya ma kanat ma adat tahmilu rijal. وإنما تحمل إيش؟ لا ما قال هذا، قال النسانيس. Yeah, I take from you also تحمل الذكور. But subhanAllah, you can see a person whose knowledge is maybe measured with the teaspoon. You know, if he reaches that, and he's the one who will tell you that هم رجال ونحن رجال. You know. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. So if a companion says something. Do you get the idea? A companion says something, and there is no contradiction between what he says and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And there is no contradiction between what he says and that which another companion says. If you have two companions clashing, in this case, you look for an external evidence to support one of them. You don't just choose like that because of the size, because of the age, because of the knowledge. No, we don't go like this. You have to look for external evidence to support one of the opinions. Like in the case of Abu Rafi, when it comes to the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Maymuna, when did he actually marry her? Is it when he was a muhrim or when he wasn't? Abu Rafi said he wasn't a muhrim. Abdullah ibn Abbas said no, he was. So what to do now? If we take the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Maymuna when he was in the state of ihram, he was performing umrah. What do you call that? That's the violation of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yankihul muhrim, wala yunkah." And the first person that is supposed to apply this hadith is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why, in this case, we look for an external evidence to support the opinion of one of them, because each and every one of them has something inside him that can help you to favor him. Abdullah ibn Abbas is a family member of Maymuna and the Prophet sallallahu. Usually the family know when exactly the event is taking place, right? Abu Rafi will tell you, I am the agent between Rasulullah sallallahu and Maymuna, even the time we fix it. They get like that. So now I will go to Mother Aqidah to Khalid, a tawakuf. We don't go for a tawakuf. That's why, apart from the hadith, the other biggest evidence I found here is the funniest one. You get it? That evidence is the woman herself. Because believe it or not, when there is marriage, go and ask them. You know, your friend married, right? How much you see them talking about the marriage before the marriage happened? Almost every day. When is it coming? Try monitor them. After the marriage, khalas. Because the brothers, they are just looking for fadilatuha, you know. Right after the marriage, they forgot. The one who remembers the time, you know, is the woman. They never forget. Anyway, I went, my child number four, I guess, or number five, they asked me in the, what is the place for the birth certificate? JPN. Oh, you don't know. That's why I look at people who are having children, not me. If you know the place, I will have that. I will ask you how, why. So they asked me when I went with the document, yeah, as usual. They told me you have to bring the marriage certificate. I said, no. Nobody ever asked about it, and it wasn't a requirement. They said, yes, you are right. But this is a new decision by the government that you have to present the marriage certificate. I said, wallahi, ana ala al-ahd al-qadim. I never know about this, that's why I did not come with it. He said, take it easy. I just need the date. When did you? Yeah, he said, subhanAllah, I told him, wallahi, I forgot. He said, call your wife. And subhanAllah, I called them, when did you marry, you know, without thinking, you know. Yeah, precisely the time. So when I see this, I remember that case of Maimuna. They asked her, when did the Prophet ﷺ marry you? She said, he wasn't a mahrim. I said, that should be one of the greatest evidence actually to support him. Okay, Allahu A'lam. So now you get what you're looking for. So inshallah, marry next time, we can have you also as one of them.
Question by Sister Saada. Question by Sister Huda. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. In one of the previous classes, we talked about how, as parents, we can improve a lack of trust and communication between the parents and the children. I'd like to ask what we can do from a child's perspective to build up that trust.
Allah is a very difficult thing, subhanAllah. You know, this looking for authority by the parent is really a distraction. The best is to look into the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and do what exactly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do with the kids. So if I am to advise, as a parent, you have to be very lenient. Maximize your leniency with your children. Let them have freedom at home. Don't talk too much, don't blame too much, overlook a lot. You know, this is really necessary. You also, you don't like that. You know, don't talk too much, you know. Every single thing that the child touch, we have to make comment, we have to stop them, we have to deprive them. No, this is wrong. And try your best, as I always say, avoid punishing your child unless if it is necessary. Don't raise up your hand unless if it is necessary. Be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Based on experience, I found it one of the most interesting things and helped the children also to build this trust. They will be speaking the truth with you. They will always be with you. And they will try to, you know, apply whatever you say out of the house. I remember the sister married, you know, she was telling the husband when he told her these things are wrong. She said, no. My parents put me on this and they never told me this is wrong. And I would not go against their opinion. She said she's willing to stay away from it, but this is the value she got from the parent. Yeah, although she's doing it in the wrong way, we want it to be established in the right way. So build a good relationship with your children. Hold your breath. Be patient. Bring them closer. When they make mistakes, overlook. Out of 100 mistakes, maybe talk about one. And don't talk too much. You know, honestly speaking, sometimes, especially the mothers, talk, and you can see one thing being repeated, you know. So that's, now your statement tomorrow will not have any value. So restrict yourself to the necessary. When there is no need, then do it. Especially these days, as I said, our children really need us. You really need to make them the best friend of yours. I don't mean you should just be negligent and let them do whatever they want, even if it is against the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. That there is always a better way to make a correction. Allah grant us tawfiq.
What about the child's perspective? What can he do?
Who?
The child. He has miscommunication with his parents and lack of trust. What can the child himself do from his...
To apologize to the parent. Yeah, go and apologize. And try to trace what exactly they want. As long as it is not disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he just have to do. Close that page. Yeah. And the parents should change, because if children change, usually the parents are the one who change, not the children. If you change your method, you do it correctly, your children also are going to change. يَنْشَأُ نَاشِئُ الْفِتْيَانِ مِنَّا عَلَى مَا كَانَ عَوَّدَهُ أَبُوهُ. Yeah. They follow what they see the parents are doing. Allah grant us good.
Question is to Saada. Is it permissible for a husband to stop his wife from visiting her family?
No, he can't do that. If he tells her not to go, she shouldn't go. But he is not allowed to do that. But if he tells her not to go, she shouldn't go. Get it? But he is not allowed to do that unless if the visit is harming her. They have different aqidah, and whenever she goes, when she came back to him, problem is going to take place in the house. In this case, he does have a right to tell her not to go. Even her parent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to feel. Jazakallah khairan, labas, labas, inshaAllah, barakallah fikum, inshaAllah ta'ala, jazakumullah, okay, jazakumullah khairan.
Another question about her, does the woman praying alone get the reward of praying the entire night?
The hadith says the jama'ah, so if she prays alone, she is not praying with the jama'ah. So obviously that reward mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she doesn't get it, but the question is, who says what she get is not valuable as that one? Yeah, that's the question. Because she is taking the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what she does is the sunnah. And just leave it like that. He said, "Asabta sunnah," and that one he says, "Lak al ajru maratain." And the scholar said, the one who is better between the two is the one who got the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if a woman prays at home, she's getting the reward of praying at home and the reward of following the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's how we should look at it, Saada. Not getting that reward that another sister got when she goes to the masjid, it doesn't mean that her reward is more valuable than yours. Get it? You have the reward of following the sunnah, which cannot be measured by anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Does a person also have to pray Isha with the Imam to get the reward of praying the entire night?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talk about the Qiyam. Man qama imam, when he prays the Isha finish. When the Imam says Assalam, the Isha already done. He's referring to that, the night prayer.
If a woman prays Taraweeh together, oh, it's the same question. If a woman prays at the Masjid al-Haram, would she also get the reward of 100,000 prayers?
Yeah, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, inshaAllah.
Indeed.
Abbas.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Rahmatullah.
This is my pleasure, I would like to take you back to the lectures you presented. Then you made a statement with regards to what Abdullah ibn Abbas said about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
With respect to the sakiyya. So I don't know the message you are trying to convey. Which,
the one that Abdullah says the marriage happened.
No, that of the sakiyya.
Asaq.
Asaq, yeah.
Asaq, okay. You know the word asaq, asaq means the shin. This part of the leg. So when Allah says Yawma yukshifu an saqin, when the saq is uncovered, are we going literally to understand saq as saq because this is the saq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Some scholars said no, he's not referring to his saq, he's referring to difficulty and hardship, because the word as saq also in Arabic means hardship and difficulty. So when he says yukshaf an saqin, some scholars said he is referring to the difficulty on the day of judgment being removed, and now people are at ease. Other scholars said no, this is wrong. Allah is referring to his saq. Get it? And how did he get that? Because in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa taala yukshifu an saqihi. He used the word he. That he. Dhamir is referring to Allah because it's the Aqrab Madhkur. Yakshiful Jabbaru an Saqihi. And then the Jabbar will uncover his saq. He said this is absolutely reference to the saq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the attribute of Allah. So that's why we're saying that if not because of this hadith, we will follow the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Yeah, because if a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something and there is no contradiction, thank you for bringing this question, because last time also I did not complete this information. If a companion said something and there is no contradiction between his statement and the statement of Allah, and there is no contradiction between his statement and the statement of another companion, then we have to follow his opinion. Why? Because it is a joke if somebody thinks that he has understanding more than the understanding of the companions. So when they say this is how it should be done, that means this is the way we should do it. The only time that we have to check for an evidence to support that opinion is when he clashes with another companion. So here, the reason why I brought this is because some scholars, they brought this hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas to interpret the saq as difficulty and hardship, which is the incorrect approach. The most corrected approach is the one that says, no, this is saqullah azza wa jal, the shin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who fits Allah, because we don't know. We never saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we don't know how it is. So we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a saq, but Allahu a'lam kayfahu. Inshallah. Somebody came?
Question is by Selina. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. What is the correct position for praying Jama'ah for a mother who is leading two boys, aged 7 and 9, and two daughters?
The best is that that boy should be the imam, not the mother. So Selina, the best is the son should be the imam, the one who is at the age of 9. She should try and teach him Quran. Let's say if today he doesn't know that Quran that much, so today he's going to be the Maghrib prayer, she should let him sit down, teach him so much, it would be good, and then he should be the imam. He should be the imam. That's how it should be done. And she should follow him. She shouldn't worry about that. The companion used to follow a 7-year-old boy in the prayer. That's how it should be done. Those children, they should be the imam in the house. And that's good, actually, lesson for them. They see their mother following them, and they're the imam. She's putting them this responsibility. They will be happy with that. Tomorrow, they'll have interest in coming to the prayer. I am the imam. That's it. Okay, جزاكم الله خيرا. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فيكم ويعلي قدركم وشأنكم في الدنيا والآخرة إنه بكل جميل كفيل. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.